You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
I'm ready to go when you are.
Go for it.
I'm already recording.
Oh, okay.
Already started.
It's an unorthodox podcast for us this time.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, we're always like, as soon as we connect, we're recording.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Might as well keep up with that.
But tonight we're in the same room.
We're in the same room, which is kind of weird, seeing each other's faces. kind of unusual for us.
Yeah.
But at least we are drinking.
We've had, yeah, cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
We had the one podcast that we did in person. All the others have been...
Yeah, but that was back in the reboot days.
That was in reboot,
yeah. Yeah. So this is the first time on Banzai being in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got to be the first time for the history of Banzai of doing an in-person show. Because
yes,
on reboot, we did... Like, I'd done things with at Blue Box, things like that got under the feet.
You did the... And then you did one with Cheryl and...
The one with Cheryl, right.
And... What did your wife call herself?
Just Joyce.
Joyce.
Just Joyce.
Just
yeah.
Joyce.
Yeah.
And then who else was on it?
Oh, jeez.
It was Cheryl, your wife, and somebody else.
Catherine. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met Catherine. But anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the first in-person podcast for Banzai.
So you want to do the intro?
Who, me?
Yeah, go for it.
It's you.
It's me. I'm on vacation.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Am I doing that?
Sure.
No,
do whatever you want.
No, I don't want to do 3, 2, 1.
This is 80-something podcast.
I don't think there's anybody back there.
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Ghostbusters. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
It to each other. And party on, dudes!
Alright, so this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave, and well, not online, but in person, I've got Scott.
Hey, everybody.
What we're going to do is we're going to continue our list of the essential 1980s movies. Do we know what number this one is?
This one is... Oh, gosh. It doesn't have a number, does it?
No, they all got numbers.
Not on my phone, they don't.
Oh, we'll be that way. All right. Well, we don't know what number this is, but this is next on the list of the essential 1980s movies, and this was just that... list that I found on RottenTomatoes.com that we've been trying to work our way down from 140 to 1.
This one is immediately after Dirty Dancing, so that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which I did not, I was not part of, and Real Genius, which I wish I would have been on that one, but that was a good one too.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, fill some time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I've been on vacation.
I got time to fill. So next up on the list, even though we don't know what the number is, it's a pretty significant movie in the history for us as our podcast. It's The Last Starfighter.
Come on, Alex, they're here!
Alex Rogan had a dream.
You really are leaving here, aren't you?
to be as far away from here as possible.
You get your chance. When it comes, you gotta grab it with both hands.
It started with a game.
You're gonna bust the record.
But it wasn't just any game.
You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
And then, one night...
Centauri's the name. We have to talk about a matter of utmost importance. Step into my office. I've seen him come and I've seen him go, but you're the best, my boy. Light years ahead of the competition.
Hey.
Alex didn't find his dream.
Hey, look out!
Oh, dear.
His dream found him.
Where are we? Welcome to Rylos, my boy.
A world on the brink of destruction.
You were recruited by the Star League to defend...
To defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Of all the life forms, on all the planets, in all the galaxies...
Oh my God!
One has been chosen. Alex Rogan.
Alex?
Hey, Max.
Is the last starfighter. For every Earthling who's ever imagined traveling beyond the stars.
Maybe there is a starfighter left.
I love you, Alex Rogan.
Comes the unforgettable story of one who made it. The last starfighter.
The reason why this has become kind of a significant thing for us is... What Christmas did I send that to you guys? Was it...
I think that was 2017.
2017.
I think so.
Yeah, so I sent Christmas gifts to both Scott and Rose and included the DVD of The Last Starfighter. And the idea when I first sent it was that maybe we would do one of those things where we... would start the video and do like a commentary track as we played it amongst the three of us. But obviously we're in 2019. We still haven't done that. I know Rose had, in the process of moving, she had lost her copy of the DVD. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is forcing the conversation, this essential movie list, because it's next up on the list. So I'm glad that we can go back and revisit the movie.
I think we might need to go back and really revisit it at another time.
Like after we watched it. Right?
Rewatch it and get a really fresh view, because I haven't had a chance to watch it either since we've gotten it.
So since you got your DVD, you haven't watched it.
I haven't had a chance.
I have.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Well, remember, I told you, like, Chrissy, I have limited time because right. She doesn't have any interest in sci-fi.
Right, right.
And this won't. I don't know if that'll catch her attention.
It wouldn't be a group.
I need to find time alone. And that's not very often. So.
Okay. But then again, you know, I'd given myself the DVD. Mm. And what people may not know about me is that on occasion when there's something that's just really cool, I'll wrap it up and put it underneath the tree and then act surprised when I open it. So, like, my kids would be like, who gave them that? And it was
the
like...
Overlord. The Overlord gave it to me.
So, So that's kind of my plan. Every so often, if I'll have like a DVD or something like that, or a book or something that I've wanted that I know no one else knows I want. In this case, I had bought those two copies and sent them to you guys, but I also bought a third copy for myself and wrapped it up and put it underneath the tree. But unlike you, I had watched it shortly after Christmas that year. But that's the only time I viewed that DVD. I've still got it. I just haven't watched it again.
So it's been a little over a year, and a half, whatever
right.
it was.
Okay. So so my memory is a little fresher on it. And the conversation that listeners aren't going to be privy to But something that we were just discussing was that in some cases, movies are better left in kind of the framework of your memory instead of rewatching them. Mm-hmm. This isn't a bad movie. This is actually a really good movie. But what you have to realize when you're viewing it is that it was like the first example of CGI.
Really, really good example of CGI.
So like,
it goes right along with like Tron.
Yeah.
You know, it was similar. I think Tron was maybe a couple years before it, but overall, this has some really good CGI for its time.
For its time.
Yes.
And you have to add that bracket in there. You have to, you know, the air quotes for its time. Because modern day movies would make this look, blow this out of the water. So if somebody just.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right. But, you know, so if you get past that, the story's great. Mm-hmm. We know Mary Stuart Masterson's in this movie. Uh-huh. And I think she's phenomenal. I like the lead guy. I forgot his name.
Lance Guest. Yeah, I'm cheating. I looked it up.
Okay, let's see. I refuse to do that. I refuse to do that on the Essential Movie.
Who also, I believe, was who played Superman as a teenager.
He would look like a Superman.
And I believe he was a Superman from the teenager version of Superman.
Oh, in the 78 movie.
78, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay, that's right, because he was in high school, and I remember that. He ran home to beat the car. That's right.
He beat the train.
Yeah, the train, and he was packing up all the gear or something like that, and yeah, so that was the same guy. Yeah.
I think it was. I'm going to check right now.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure.
See, you're definitely cheating.
Cheating.
Cheater. We don't do that on the Essential Movies podcast. We don't look stuff up.
It doesn't show.
So then where did you get that?
It just looks a lot like him. I got to see who it is now.
So it just looks like him. So you had me go down this whole track, and we're just...
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Okay.
So I am wrong.
You're wrong. It's not him.
Superman. 78.
All right, so... What's your memories of this movie?
Oh, this movie was awesome. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies of that time. I was really looking forward to watching it. When I opened it up for Christmas, it was really exciting to me. I just wish I had a chance to watch it. But I remember watching it back in the day multiple times. You know, like a lot of movies I watched back then. But it's great. It's a great storyline. I think it's... It was very relatable because it's a fantasy, you know, with a kid who's playing video games. And in the mid-80s, you know, video games that's all it was.
Right.
Now, video games have changed so much now, you know, with being in-home, Xbox and PlayStation, all that stuff. It's kind of changed the whole arcade industry. It was so fun just going to an arcade. I think that was part of the draw to the movie was, you know, it was this arcade game, this one that you stand in front of and actually play, you know, and you put quarters in the machine and all that stuff. It's very, I think that's part of the nostalgic part of it. But it was just really relatable. Like, it was, you know, you're like, well, that would be so cool if you were abducted by aliens and sent off to a place to fight for them.
Well, he kind of got, he wasn't volunteered, but almost volunteered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was recruited.
Recruited, yeah.
Which is the words that they use in the beginning of the game, right?
Yeah, right.
You've been recruited by the Armada. I can't remember the line now.
Yeah, and I actually used that in our bumper for 83.
Yes, we just used that.
Yeah.
So I should know it well.
Yeah, but unfortunately I've forgotten it also.
And then they really revisited this movie in Ready Player One quite a bit too. Didn't they mention it?
I don't remember Starfighter being listed in there. I know, I mean, it may have been mentioned, but I don't remember it being a heavy influence in the book.
Huh. I thought it was, but maybe I'm thinking of a different movie that they referenced. Because that book referenced so many
movies. Yeah, so many 80s. Yeah.
A lot of 80s stuff. And earlier. 70s, 80s, Godzilla and all that stuff.
But, I mean, Ernest Cline picked up the theme from Last Starfighter. And
oh, that was
follow-up
Armada. That Armada. Was called Armada. Maybe right. That's what I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm confusing it with that.
Yeah, so that has a lot of similarities between Starfighter and Armada, mm-hmm. that book.
Okay, that's
which I don't think as strong a story as Ready Player One,
not,
but
it's not nearly as good.
But yeah, I mean, it's
Ready Player One. It was amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
As a book,
right?
The movie, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. They're missing a lot of stuff, and they kind of changed some things in there that I didn't get crazy about. But anyway, back to Last Starfighter.
They had to get that whole book into a format that they could have made into a movie. And
right.
That's
it's
problem.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah. There's too much good stuff to... It would have been a good trilogy.
Right. Exactly, you know, what I was saying. I'm like Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yeah. Do that for Ready Player One.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the movie.
What was your take on the movie, like originally, when you first got it? Or when you first saw it, like back in the day?
Oh, Starfighter?
Yeah.
It blew me away, you know, because I really love the aspect of, you know, the tie-in to the arcade games. Mm-hmm. And like every kid of the 80s, you know, I was constantly spending time in the arcades.
A lot of quarters in those machines.
Yeah. And you know, that the fantasy aspect of that leading to something grand, mm-hmm. like something good's going to come out of that. It wasn't just a complete waste of time.
Right.
This played into that fantasy. And this gave us a visual, you know, what that would look like.
Yeah.
So that, and also kind of the against all odds kind of thing that he ended up getting himself into, being the air quote last starfighter, you know, after they all got killed off. And then it's all on him. And here's some kid from a trailer park, you know, that suddenly the whole galaxy is expecting to, you know, well, not expecting, but hoping will be able to do what he has to do in order to save everybody. So yeah, loved it. Loved the theme. Loved the premise behind it.
Okay, so we usually go through favorite characters,
right?
Would you say the lead role, Lance Guest, was your favorite character? Or should we eliminate him? I don't know what else there is. I mean, other than
there was this, I forgot who played him, but they're the Centauri.
Yeah, the alien.
Yeah, he's the one that recruited him.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Yeah, he...
But he's been in a lot of other things.
Preston, I think. Something Preston or Preston something.
Right.
No, he... That was... I liked that. I thought he was a good one, too. What was that? Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Oh. It must be Miss Pac-Man.
Is Miss Pac-Man turned on?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, how about that? Oh, great. Now we got extra sound effects.
It's nice. Background.
Yeah, background. Yeah, for those that don't know what's going on, is okay. So Scott and I are recording in person. We're actually right next to a Miss Pac-Man coin-operated game in somebody's basement.
I wonder if it'll pick up, right?
I don't know. I think maybe we have to move the microphone closer to it.
Oh.
All right, so now Scott is like forgotten last Starfighter.
I'm killing off Miss Pac-Man.
Killing off Miss Pac-Man, that's really
there.
Sad.
It's done.
That's sick, dude. Killing off Miss Pac-Man.
Well, I had to go through the three players, otherwise it'd be in the background all the time.
Yeah.
Which might not be a bad thing. Might be kind of fun.
Did you have a favorite character?
I would go with the alien too. He was really, it was cool that he had like this coach. The main character had this coach that was, you know, kind of leading him through all the stuff that he had to go through to learn.
But I mean, he was more like Gandalf, you know, where he like disappeared for a while. You know, he was like, here's this other world that you don't know about. Oh, good luck. You're going to do great. Bye.
See, I don't remember that part. It's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah.
I really wish I could have watched it again before we sat down for this. But this was an impromptu podcast tonight.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting to do this.
Yeah, well, and the fact that Scott's on vacation, and he wanted to make sure that I didn't record The Last Starfighter without him.
Yeah, I wanted to be part of this because
yeah.
It's just, I'm going to have to bust it out when I get back home. I just got to find some time to where I can sit down and watch it and not have to bother Chrissy, let her do her thing or whatever.
So where would this fall in line in your brain for, like, you know, top 10, top 20?
Oh, I'd say, like, yeah, possibly top 20. I'd really have to like look at my list. I have a hard time keeping a top 10 list. I like top 5 maybe, but all the other ones kind of shift as I go through life, and you know, they kind of change places. Like one, I'll see a refresher and go, "Oh my gosh, I can't remember how I forgot how good this movie is," and it might bump up itself a few notches.
Right.
But I could put, I probably put this in top 20. Like,
are we talking just like 80s movies, or are we talking top 20 movies of all time?
Ooh, all time. I don't know. 80s movies, it might make my top 10. All time, probably top 20.
Yeah,
it's probably a really good. It's a really good movie, and it's fun. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For especially at the time, a teenager, video games, space, sci-fi, you've got a lot going for it. It's got a lot going for it.
Right.
So it's set up to be a good thing. So
then Mary Stuart is very beautiful to look at too.
Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
So
did you know Will Wheaton was actually in this movie?
Oh, really?
He did not have a speaking part. He was in the background. He's one of the friends in the trailer park.
Oh, nice.
So if you freeze frame at the right time, you'll see him on the set.
Had no idea.
Yeah. I thought that was when I discovered that.
He read
Ready Player One
and Armada, right?
Yeah, for the audiobooks. Yeah, right.
Which is basically Last Starfighter. Yeah. Anyway.
Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about our favorite characters. Do you have a favorite scene, or do you even remember like a favorite scene?
So memories of it are kind of all blurred together, so I don't have really, like, I can't recall specific scenes. The only thing I do remember that stands out to me is the special weapon that is equipped on the ship.
Okay.
And I cannot remember the name of the special weapon. It's like Starburst or Orchid Flower.
I forgot. I know what you're talking about. I remember because...
It's where the ship just like starts spinning in all directions and shooting lasers every direction.
Right.
Like it's like, I'm going to have to figure it out.
Back to his phone. He's Googling. Yep. He's Googling.
I'm going to have to figure it out. No. What is the name of the...
You remember that, which...
I do. And yeah, that was the pinnacle of the movie.
Yeah, that was like the... how he was able to defeat the whole Armada.
Right.
Yeah.
The Zerg. Is that what it was? The Zerg, and what was?
You've been recruited by the Kodan Armada to defeat Zerg.
And
was it Zerg? No, it was Zerg.
No, that was the video game.
Toy Story. we're crossing Toy streams. Story. We're crossing the streams.
Oh my god.
So what happens when we, you're not allowed to look things up. We're going to just totally fuck it up. So for me, I don't know if I want to call it a favorite scene.
Death Blossom.
See, that's what happens when you Google things, kids. You can find answers. Something that I always thought was hokey, and after watching it this last time, I still thought it was very hokey, was when he's playing the game, he's just there by himself at the office of this trailer park. And then all of a sudden, somebody realizes he's almost got the high score, and then suddenly the whole trailer park is behind him, cheering him on. Now, I mean, that's just a great 80s movie, but a great 80s moment, I mean. But at the same time, it's very hokey. And when I was watching it this time, that's what stood out at me. It's like, I don't know. Like, the whole community is sitting there cheering him on, and, yeah, go, Alex!
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. You know, Alex has got the high score. He's got the high score. Come see. And it was like, suddenly everybody's there and everybody's, you know, rah, rah, rah. And It's like, come on, man. But then again...
So it's a trailer park.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's at the...
Have you ever lived in like a trailer park?
No.
Okay, I have.
I know.
Okay. Wow, but wait, does it show?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's a small, tight-knit community.
Yes. Right?
Okay?
Yeah.
It's... If I recall, you said it was at the office. I think it was like a concession...
Yeah.
...stand general store, just like in the front of the trailer park that was kind of... That was the only game
It was a permanent fixture in that community.
Yes.
It was a little building.
Yes. This little,
whatever it was.
Might have had a pool table in the background.
I don't know. Sure.
It's like just maybe a clubhouse or concession place or something. Or the office, or it could have been all three or all four. But it was the only thing they had that was like in touch with the outside world, it seems. Like it was the arcade game was like the one piece of entertainment in the trailer park itself. So maybe they were all really involved with it and all their, you know, they all played. Except for the older people. Maybe the older people probably didn't play.
But they were definitely involved in, you know, getting excited for Alex for beating the high score. Or getting to the high score and then be able to watch that moment.
You gotta wonder how long Alex had been living in the trailer park. His family.
Yeah, you would... Yeah,
it'd have to be a long time.
Yeah, it'd have to be a long time.
For everybody to know him.
Yeah.
And know that he's playing this game.
Right. Well, I mean, it was like the only game there. Yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, I don't know if I have, like, you know, if I go through and think of, like, a favorite moment. You know, maybe at the very end when he's, like, you know, he comes back after saving the whole universe and he's able to... he's like, well, we've got a spot for one more person, and then he ends up taking his girlfriend. Yeah, of course, his little brother wanted to go along too at the time, but you know, I was like, I don't think so, Squirt. So I thought that was kind of cute. Good way to wrap the movie up.
Oh yeah.
But okay, is there anything else about Last Starfighter you wanted to throw out there?
No, just a great flick. If you haven't seen it in a long time, I'd say revisit it because I know I'm going to.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I've got to put that DVD back in.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So this is where we remind everybody we have a website out there. It's Banzai Retro Club, BANZAI, retroclub.com. Follow us on our social media endeavors, be it Twitter and Facebook, Tumblr. I'm not really doing much with Instagram. I'm getting better at. So go ahead and do all that stuff. Follow us, like us, yada, yada, yada. You got one of those fancy iPhone devices or iPads, go out there, give us a rating and review, and subscribe to the podcast. And then we like to remind everybody, just be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because we have no idea when the hell you're listening to this. Goodbye.
Adios.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 And I guess on the next one, we're going to be talking about pizza.
Yes.
And something a little mystic.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Communication radar systems are out, Wing Commander. Proceed with the visual attack formation.
Life support good. Ammo packs are peak.
Think we gotta use Death Blossom.
Remember, Death Blossom delivers only one massive volley at close range. Theoretically.
What do you mean, theoretically?
After all, DB has never been tested. It might overload the systems. Blow up the ship!
What are you worried about, Greek? Theoretically, we should already be dead.
Open Death Blossom petals. Switches off. Do not trigger DB until we're within range. Just use your lasers until I give the signal. Remember to leave
been
your
recruited
target.
By the Star League to defend the frontier.
Now are you ready?
This is it. Here we go.
Charge!
We need time to recharge. Laser power grading.
Great, my weapons are gone. Should I do it?
Easy, easy. Wait till they're all in Death Blossom range.
Did it.
Yes, we actually did, didn't we?